am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, where we uncover the success strategies, the secrets, and the top 1% so you can take and start applying to your life today to transform yourself, your business, and catapult you towards massive success. Welcome to Making Bank. One of the most important things that you're going to find throughout your life is who you surround yourself with. Who you surround yourself with will determine your success level. How many of you out there right now are hanging on to the same friends that you had in grade school, the same friends that you had in middle school, high school, or college? I think I can count on my hand that it's one maybe, and that's because I ran into him and he's my insurance agent. But other than that, I have not associated with anyone from any of those areas in my life. And the interesting thing is you can see where they are and what I've been able to accomplish. And so surrounding yourself, those key 3, 4, 5, 6 people in your life that are on that same path, that same mental focus of where you're going, that has the same heartbeat of what you want to do, your values, your characteristics, and where you want to take your life and your successes is extremely important to how successful you're going to be. Yes, as entrepreneurs, we're independent, we're driven, we're relentless, we're focused, but we're also sporadic. It is important to have that right team, those right friends that you can call on and count on at the right time. It's the people that are operating at higher levels than you, that you're able to sync up with, that you're learning from. And it's extremely important to move yourself in that direction. So I want you to make a list right now. Take out your pen and paper. Make a list. Who are your top closest 6 friends? How long have you had those friends? Where are they in their lives? Are they more successful than you? Are they the same or less? And if they fall into any of those categories, start to find a new group of friends, a new group of people that you can count on. I have maybe 3 to 5 close friends, and that's it. And they're all people that are doing better than myself, that are transforming their lives in some way. Maybe they go out and they have the ultimate family and relationship, and so I'm always learning from that. Or from a financial standpoint, they have a larger investment pool, they have more income coming in, and I'm learning how they do that from a standpoint of investing, as well as what they're doing right now in the marketplace to generate that, as well as we know that we can reach out and count on each other for different things. And so surrounding yourself with the right team of people, that right friendship, that right group of people is going to help you transform and be more successful in your life. And one of the biggest things that has worked really well for myself and surrounding and connecting with the right people. I enjoy getting it out, meeting people, and networking. I enjoy bringing people together to help them transform their lives and help catapult their lives based on other people that I've met, is different mastermind groups. And what I mean by mastermind groups, they're a group of 20, 30 like-minded people, all driven, all on the same path to success, whether it's in their business, whether it's personal, whether it's from a monetary wealth standpoint, but they're all headed down that same path to success. They're all driving themselves towards something better. And I've participated, and I do participate in roughly 3 to 4 of those currently, and I've been blessed to be able to connect with some of the top people in the world. I've been honored to connect and become friends with many of these people and help them transform their lives, as well as get feedback and information from them to help transform and move my life forward on a daily basis. I've had the privilege and the honor to really connect with someone in my hometown here in Akron, Ohio, that has been able to radically help transform and move myself forward as well. Being from Akron, there's not too many awesome, great people to connect with, maybe with some LeBron James, and I don't know, that's about it, and myself, that was all I knew. But I was honored and blessed to meet another person in the area, and that we were introduced through someone else that I was on a podcast with, and he's like, "Hey Josh, you gotta meet this guy. He's right there near you, he's local, I think you guys would really hit it off." And so next up, I want to introduce Vinnie Fisher. I have the honor and the privilege to interview him. We got to connect on a local level here. He's in Akron, Ohio. I'm in Akron, Ohio. There's not too many great people that are in the Akron, Ohio area besides myself, maybe LeBron James. But I was introduced to him through someone else on a podcast that I was on. Said, hey, you guys got to connect. You guys got to meet. And I think you guys will really hit it off. And so after meeting Vinny, learning his story, who he is, Vinny, I call him the $300 million man because he had multiple businesses generating over $300 million over several years and just woke up one morning and decided, hey, I don't want to do this anymore, and walked away. And he's found his passion and his successes being the CEO to CEOs. And being around him, being able to see what he's creating and moving forward with now is a unbelievable mastermind that will help transform people's lives, help them transform their businesses, as well as create unbelievable networking connections, opportunities, and friendships. And I'm excited. Up next, I've been able to interview Vinny and uncover some of his really cool success secrets and strategies and give you the ability to connect with people that have that same heartbeat, that have that same like-mindedness as you do. And so stick around. This is going to be a phenomenal interview. I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. I'm excited today. We have a great friend, mentor, as well as a serial entrepreneur and attorney, Vinny Fisher, here on Making Bank. Welcome to Making Bank, Vinny.
Hey, thanks, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Tell our audience a little bit about your background. I kind of alluded to a little bit in the intro, but tell us a little bit about attorney, serial entrepreneur, or, you know, what do you have going on?
Yeah, so I'm a corporate and tax lawyer by training.
Okay.
So I, you know, started my law career working for a big firm and was trained in corporate law. And so anything from running, buying, building, killing, scrapping a corporate business, that would be my pedigree and training. The entrepreneur side, sure. I think that just came fresh out of the box. I think because, you know, we were a medium to lower than medium class family, and so we weren't middle class, we were something less than that, but we strived to be middle class. And as a result of that, I just always wanted more. It required me to be a scrambler. And so I think that scrambling part of me is where what bred and continued to feed my entrepreneurial spirit. So I just was a guy who really kind of loved like the whole entrepreneurial spirit piece. I just always would do things like, you know, like start any kind of business, and that was me, right? So.
Awesome. And so, you know, that's kind of like that deadly combo, serial entrepreneur and attorney.
Yeah, right.
So it kind of gives you the best of both worlds. You don't have to go hire somebody.
Yeah, I'll drop something here. Sorry.
So, well, I guess, you know, being a serial entrepreneur, did you start your first business? You know, is it when you were a little kid? Did it happen later in life? What really got you started as an entrepreneur?
I always joke that my first entrepreneurial business was stealing my brother's paper out. So he broke his arm in football and then he needed his paper out done.
Sure.
So I started doing it. Well, like everything, I like to do things with excellence. I did it better than he did. And so the paper company asked my dad if I would continue on. So the part of the story I don't tell is I had to pay him for a long time, if not forever, his little VIG for letting me have his business. But that then, because from New Jersey, we talk about VIGs.
Sure.
And so that led into a life of entrepreneurialism. I put myself through law school with a tax service. During undergraduate, my wife and I had a delivery service where we delivered things. So even pre my law career, I was an entrepreneur. I moved that right into owning my own law firm. And then my entree of direct response businesses, we've had a handful of them, including the companies we own now.
Wow. And so I guess you were that kind of that first delivery business before Amazon delivery and Uber delivery and all that stuff out there. A little ways back.
Yeah, this was in, date myself. That was like in 1994.
Wow.
Long time.
Long time, yeah. No, that's awesome. And so so the law firm you had, you know, tell us a little bit about that. And did you sell that? You know, what happened with that?
Yeah, so I was mentored in a big law firm. And so okay. I came out of law school, and you have a couple tracks you can go which way. But sure. I went to the big, big firm, was mentored very well in corporate law and tax law. I broke out because I was a business developer. I realized one of my powers is business development.
Right.
And so I outgrew the structure of that system pretty quickly. So then I went into a small, what I call more of a boutique health firm, okay. and brought my corporate practice there. By the end of it, the old guy, who I loved to death, he was a wonderful mentor, retired. And that was me and a business partner. And that would be running today, except for a character meltdown in our partnership. And so that part, that law firm was wound down, and all of my friends and colleagues in that business were moved into other traditional law settings where they were able to continue their careers.
Okay. And you will definitely talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but you mentioned a superpower.
Yeah.
So is that your main superpower, biz dev, or you know, what's kind of that one that really just hits home and really makes you Vinny the Superman?
You know, I've never taken an IQ test because I'm afraid I'm going to score just above the dumb or something.
Right.
And so, but I do know that if I took an emotional equivalent test, I'd score off the charts on it. And I had never taken one, but I have just an absolute joy for other people.
Sure.
I love the uniqueness of them, who they are. I've also discovered that I have a wonderful ability. The Bible calls it exhortation.
Okay.
It's where you have this ability to exhort out of somebody or pull out of them what their value or talents are. And so if you talk to anybody within our organization, clients, friends, I just continually do this.
Like, right.
Find what you're good at. Help you stay focused and simplify. Get back on your design and get rid of your distractions. And we do this all the time within our organization. And that's by far my largest superpower.
Wow, that's so almost like Ghostbusters. Almost extract
like
it out.
Extracting out. Once you know what you're doing, once you like know there's something you're really good at,
right.
and you're given the freedom to do it, the creativity of the, doesn't matter what the role. You take a bookkeeper within one of our departments, and as soon as she knows she's doing exactly what she wants to do, her own creativity just blossoms. And I
wow.
love that. That's just not reserved for the marketing and sales guys. Everybody has certain things they love to do, and as soon as you can get them on the path of something that looks more purposeful, their passions come alive.
That's awesome. As you mentioned, you know, the passion and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I guess for you, what's more important, that passion or that purpose?
You know, I can be passionate about bowel movement, so I think passion wins. So I think it's all about purpose.
Okay.
You know, the paths are laid before us. And what our footsteps are is a function of your purpose. So, you know, we struggle with what we're supposed to be doing all the time. And as an entrepreneur, that gap between right. what we're doing and what we think we should be doing is critical. So to me, I would say 100% of the time it's about purpose. Passion is brought into things. And so you can muster up the passion to do something you don't even like for a short period of time. And
sure.
how you know you're doing something you don't like is you'll watch your passion fall off. So it's not hard for me to fire a passion when I'm doing something I want to do.
Right.
And for me, who can be passionate about anything, I can get passionate about fighting about a score of a game to whether or not you're using the right equipment for this interview. So that I've learned is not the key ingredient. And how you know that is if you fight to revive your passion over and over for what you're doing.
Okay. And that makes sense. So tell me a little about, and I just saw this quote the other day. It was, do not start a business around something that you love, because you'll end up hating it. Start a business around something that you like.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's a wonderful blessing if you love exactly what you do. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, the reason why that's an interesting statement is I would agree with some of it, is that, gosh, I mean, there are only a few amount of people who absolutely dial in love what they're doing.
Right.
And for to be able to make money doing that, that's just pure blessing. I think for the rest of us schlubs, we have to like what we do at least in order to make money.
Sure.
And I think the basis of that quote, I don't know that quote, would be it's very risky to try to go out and set upon something you love to make money on. For me, that resonates because I like a lot, maybe even close to love cooking, but I wouldn't want to be paid for it.
Right.
But I bet there are chefs who love to cook. And for them, they may be able to monetize that. So I think what I take from a quote like that is you better at least like it.
Yeah, I know a lot of your audience out here today is entrepreneurs.
Yeah,
and you know some people are in that position where maybe they keep hitting those challenges, keep hitting those road bumps and everything along the way, and it's getting to where you may not like your business. and or maybe it's hiring the wrong people or...
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, this thing you're talking about, people give up.
Right.
Right? Things get hard.
Right.
You know, I don't know that the life of an entrepreneur is easy, right? You know,
for sure.
We didn't sign up. We may have signed up because we like sales or products or whatever, but it's hard. And the actual reality is most people give up before they recognize their dream.
Definitely. Well, we got to take a quick break. Can you stick around for a minute?
Absolutely.
Awesome. When I come back, I definitely want to talk a little bit about the heartbeat of the company. I know you and I have talked off camera about this, and I'd love to introduce our audience to it a little bit.
I'd love to do it.
All right. Awesome. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. We were here talking today with Vinny Fisher, serial entrepreneur and attorney, and discussing a little bit about his background and passion versus purpose and what really comes first and what we really need to have to grow our businesses successfully. Vinny, welcome back to Making Bank.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Awesome. One of the things I'd really like to dive into a little bit, I know we've talked about before, is as an entrepreneur myself, I've had a lot of different business partners, a lot of different employees. And for me, that's not my skill set.
Right.
Is hiring the right people and partnering with the right people. I know you have an intriguing way that you take a look at it and have had a lot of success. Because you don't necessarily hire off a skill.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about and, you know, I guess a little bit more details on what it's
about? Well, you know, I've had over 1,600 employees, right? So I'd say that the idea of developing wisdom is a big deal. So I had the experience and the trials of figuring some of this out.
Right.
And so for me, the journey looks like this. It starts with the conclusion. And so the answer is you need to hire for culture, not content.
Sure. Okay.
And so if it starts with that, then how do you get there, right? So we've had a lot of funerals. And so what I say in the office is if we don't talk about someone who's no longer in the organization, because that's a funeral. And a lot of those were self-imposed funerals.
Okay.
They probably didn't need to happen. And, you know, Jim Collins and some really smart guys have talked about this idea because they developed it in their own organizations, putting people in the right spots, right?
Right.
And I think Jim would say something about if you've got a bus, and you got people sitting on it. Are they sitting in the right spots on the bus? And, you know, to add on that, I would rather have a really crappy bus with some awesome people on it because they can fix it as it breaks down.
Right.
Right. As opposed to having a really great bus with a bunch of people who don't even know where they're going or what they want in life. But it's actually bigger than that. That sounds great. That sounds like something you'd have like on a commercial or on an Oprah show. And it sounds really touching. But the American small business, the North American business, is a unique animal. You know that it makes up more than 50% of the workforce, almost approaching 70% of our daily workforce are made up of people who work in small businesses. Businesses that do less than $25 million in revenue are literally the fabric of the American society.
Sure.
And those businesses are owned and operated by a bunch of you and me. And so those businesses are not big enough historically to be bigger than the owner.
Okay.
It might be bigger than the owner in the sense that we've outgrown his or her shadow to run it. But the significant influence of the owner is there in that business every day. And so what I've learned over time is that the heartbeat of the North American business is the owner.
Okay,
and we
sure.
need to develop within him or her understanding how to identify what's important to him or her in a way that we can identify her core values, what she stands for.
Okay.
Because once you have that and you can understand the definitions and put language to your specific heartbeat, then hiring becomes actually more significant and more purposeful and less reckless.
Okay. And so I guess to help our audience out a little bit, what maybe one or two ideas we could give them to how do they figure out what that heartbeat is? Or,
I love it.
You know?
So I do this all the time. So it's an exercise, and I'd be happy to share with your audience on any of that stuff you want, and we can make that available to you folks. You know, our team at Total CEO, we do this. And so I would love to just talk it through right now. So what I do, what I would encourage you to do is you can name a lot of good God-given traits of yours, but I encourage you to write 15 of them down. And then when you write those 15 down, I want you to marinate on them, look at them, and start looking at the things of those traits that cause you some issues. So for me, doesn't matter, based on the way I was raised, whatever happened in my life, we always had struggles. So I didn't like, for whatever reason, finger pointing.
Sure.
So it's a big deal in our organization if you blame the computer, or instead of saying, like, traffic, you're like, I just got up late. Like, if you point to external factors instead of internal factors, that's a big deal for Vinny Fisher. And so when I'm measuring and evaluating you, like, if when I interview you, if I ask you questions about, you know, where you lacked performance and you blame external factors, I'm going to have a big deal with that.
Right.
Another one is that I struggled with honesty in my life. And so I don't like it when people aren't straightforward and honest with me.
Sure.
And so when you give me answers that don't sound consistent, I'm concerned. I have a red flag. Commitment. Maybe it's my service in me, or maybe it was because of being let down in life. But I have these certain commitments that are critical to when I say I'm going to do something, I'm either going to tell you I didn't do it, I couldn't do it, or here's when it's going to be done. But when someone's like, we'll just do it tomorrow,
right?
Like, I will literally internally start to melt down. And then finally, for me, I'm all about hospitality. Like, I can show up to your party, and like, if you've got the silverware in the wrong spot, I'll move it. And so, like, when we do things that are done in our company in a way that falls short of the hospitality standard that I have, like, I have some big issues. So I've learned over time that when I look at that list, I found out the four or five things that are deal breakers for me. And the reason why is because I give myself 100% of the benefit of the doubt. I know how I'm going to scramble out of when I fall short.
Sure.
So I know those things. When other people in my organization have some of those same characteristics, I tend to give them those kind of benefits of the doubt. If they don't, I immediately start shutting down on the finger pointer. The person is a little sketchy on what their story is telling me. If they lack good communication to the client, if they're not leading with hospitality first, I start to shut down fast. So that's a great exercise. And I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many entrepreneurs in this journey of untrapping from the business, once you like start recognizing that you're the heartbeat and you can put language to it, I can't tell you how many people, testimonials, friends who have like, I've changed their life, and we've done such good things for just this simple concept.
And that is real simple. I mean, just putting down, you know, those significant traits and stuff, and then taking, you know, saying, hey, this is something I can't have around, and it'll start to eliminate those out. And then you hire based on what your top five are. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because, you know, think of the opposite of that. Let's say I hire a programmer because they're masterful skilled in programming.
Right.
And they're really good at doing some kind of skills in programming. Well, in about 90 days, if they don't line up with me culturally, then all of a sudden, there's the issues that are going to start in the office.
Sure.
Because competence is something we can catch up to very quickly.
Right.
I always joke, I was not a lawyer until I was a lawyer. So the idea of learning how to become a lawyer was trained in me. And the advocacy and negotiation, those are things that just a value built I have. I know how to do some of that stuff. So that's a competence structure within me. You know, when you start to identify hiring and protecting culture in your office, you can very quickly realize that culture can be accelerated learning.
That's amazing. And so, as you guys are watching, make sure you're taking these notes down. You know, really start to formulate what your heartbeat is. Mm-hmm. And like Vinny said, I mean, he's going to, you know, share some through the link here, right here, next to the video. You can click on it, you can go get some more information, and really start to get your heartbeat dialed in. I know specifically for me, I always would hire people skill, and if they would go out and they didn't need my help to go do anything.
Right.
So I would always have all these people that were almost entrepreneurial per se, and then they'd end up leaving at some point and starting their own thing or doing their own thing. But it was, for me, my part is I can't sit there and have to micromanage people, and that's hard for me to do. And so I would always hire people with that area, hence they would then leave.
Right.
So I was pre-setting them up for starting their own business.
Right. Which actually I love, you know, Henry Ford would say, you know, train your people or someone else will.
Right.
So I'm okay with the idea of like helping an entrepreneur get a start. I think it's great. They probably left because of other alignment issues too.
And, sure.
You know, you didn't. They never really grabbed onto the vision of where you were going with stuff. And It's because, really, quite honestly, I think it's great, entrepreneurs, if you realize that most funerals in your business are because of you. And you know what I hear over and over, because we make these mistakes or we're ill-equipped on how to really identify how to properly hire? I'll run into friends, clients, colleagues. You know what? I don't really want a team. Or I want a small team.
Right.
And that's like kind of like being divorced people dating. It's tough, right? It's like, I got to start dating again. And well, that's what I see with entrepreneurs. They don't want to hire again because they've been burned because they don't know how to properly hire.
Sure. No, definitely. And so one of the things that you mentioned too is the whole finger pointing thing. And it's funny, I had that same conversation with my kids like a few weeks ago. And they were blaming each other for something. And when you sat down and I talked to them, it was on themselves. They were that, you know, and just accepting their own responsibility and really holding on to it. And it's exciting to be able to raise them and get them at that point now. So later in life, they're not that.
You want to learn negotiation and have a child, right?
Yeah.
You want to learn humility, get married, right? So these are all things that are, I think that's great.
For sure. And so I know you kind of go by, or you're called the CEO to the CEOs.
Yeah.
So how come you're the CEO to the CEOs, or how did that kind of all come about?
You know, it started with a client. I can call him out, and he'll be all like, I can't believe you called me out. But a friend of mine who runs a wonderfully successful business, and we were at an event.
Sure.
And I had just got done speaking in front of a large crowd, and I was meeting with like four or five significant business owners, and he walked up, and he's like, hey, don't you have time for me? I'm like, I'll help run your business later. And we joked, I jabbed, and he jabbed me back. And he's like, hey, you know, this is like my guy. He's my secret weapon. And he's joked. And this other guy, Tony, asked him a question. He said, well, what do you mean? He goes, like, he's my little CEO in our business. And the guy's like, what do you mean? Like, you're CEO? He's like the CEO to all the CEOs. He's like, there's a lot of guys. And so literally a joke later stuck. And now that group and some others, and it just kind of jokingly stuck. And it's a very humbling position to be in. I'm very thankful that there are wonderful, successful men and women in North America who look to me for guidance and help in their business and have the security in their own self to know that I'm just there to help. So I consider it a badge of honor to be wearing a title like that. Very humbling.
Awesome. And so what do you know, since you're the CEO of the CEOs, what do you actually help them with, or what, you know, how...
What do I help them with?
Yeah, I guess, you know, what do they come to you for?
Yeah, so, you know, gosh.
Because, I mean, we got a lot of CEOs that are watching in these small businesses out there.
Yeah, so I opened a brand called Talented CEO. And so I believe that entrepreneurs start out with being talented in your sales and marketing.
Right.
One or both of those, but usually one of them, and or product development. Like, that's what we're good at.
Sure.
And there are three or four other critical areas to running a business. Like, you got to know the back end, so you got to pay attention to the metrics. You got to be able to build processes and systems. You got to be able to acquire and train the team. You got to be able to actually lead with vision and clarity. These are all things that have nothing to do with sales, marketing, or product development.
Sure.
We set out because we're excited about something. And we do this. So really what I set out for at Total CEO is to help you be the Total CEO.
Okay.
So fill in the parts you're missing. So if you don't know how to acquire a team, and or train them, we're going to do that. And when I say we're, that's what I've been doing, right?
So
I've been doing that for a while. So I've decided to build disciples of people who are helping us do that in a greater way. And we have a vision to impact 10,000 small businesses where we can help you and fill in so you can be the total CEO, because we come from this position of being diminished.
Right.
So we don't know it. So what I would do, to be honest with you about some of my blunders and failures, because I'm amazing at business development, what I would do is ignore the back end of our business. I'd run it blind. The way I'd fix a problem is go get more sales.
Right.
More gross revenue solves all problems.
That's usually the way everybody's doing it.
So that just solves every problem, right?
More sales.
So, I mean, I blew a company with that attitude. You know, we had a hosting company that had about $40 million in revenue.
Wow.
And we were growing plus minus 5% at any given time. And so with that tight of margin, you know, you got to be careful. And so in my arrogance, the way I fixed that problem was just go get more sales. And so I'm an amazing affiliate manager. I was the best business development officer I ever knew. And so I don't know, at one point, thousands and thousands of affiliates driving us sales. And, you know, the way all the pressures of scaling a company that size, I would just add more sales to it.
Sure.
We woke up one day realizing we were running at a 5% negative, not a 5% positive.
Oh, wow.
And so we were $5 million off. And, that started a journey for me that I was never going to let that happen again.
Sure.
And I I overcorrected, which is what every entrepreneur does.
Right.
I suddenly dove down on all the operations in the business, and I realized that was also incorrect because that's not what I wanted to do. And during that journey, I trapped myself into our company. I wouldn't let anyone else do anything else because, you know, I lost. You know, I've told this story enough. You know, I don't know how many people have ever had to write a $5 million check back in their business to save it. Well, I've had the extreme privilege of doing that, and I don't wish that on anybody.
Sure.
And I realized I trapped myself in the company. And you started telling this lie of inadequacy that you have to do everything.
Right.
Well, the reality is you don't. And so what I'm on a mission to do is to help untrap entrepreneurs to focus on your strengths and talents and get surrounded by the right people doing the things that you shouldn't be doing.
Sure. And you mentioned surrounded by the right people. So I think that's really key, is really surrounding yourself with the right people, whether it's in your business or even taking that next step and surrounding yourself with people outside of that business that will empower you and help move you there. I mean, I know for myself, I've been able and fortunate to connect with multiple different masterminds out there where I met great people and helped me work on you know, things that I'm working on, as well as be able to help them as well. And I think, you know, your successes are by who you're surrounded with.
Yeah, I've heard quotes like, you know, your network is your net worth is defined by your network.
Right.
I think that's kind of cliche-ish and cool, but it's true.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you find yourself not being pushed and driven by the people you're around, then go up level it.
For sure.
Go next level and go find some more people to be around. It's just, you know, not everyone's as great a networker as someone like you, but you're capable of it. It's within you to pick up the phone and find four or five people you want to be around. So, you know, I 100% agree with that.
Awesome. And I know I'm excited. I know you have a whole kind of surround yourself with the right people event coming up here in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to come check that out. Can you tell us a little bit more on that?
Yeah. So, you know, as part of Total CEO, I thought that there was two parts of it. There's the team. There's the number two and down, like investing in your team.
Right.
But it all starts with the mindset of number one. And so the other part of our company is the total executive. And so we have a few pieces to that. And one of them is I believe in a network.
Okay.
And I believe in being around the right people.
Right.
So we've launched something at Total Executive called the Total Executive Mastermind. And we've launched that to start in March. And a good friend of mine, Josh Felber, convinced me to really make it a party. And so we went out and got supported Gary Vee in his launch of his book. And so on the middle day of that event, you know, we go March 15th and 16th, the first group, March 17th and 18th, the second group. And in the middle night, we have Gary Vee, the Cavs, this real carnival-esque atmosphere. For probably less than 50 business owners who are established, wanting to work on their businesses. And my core focus there is to be think of it like an advisory group, helping 20, you know, each room is going to be less than 30 people.
Sure.
But think of that advisory group focused on helping you and in your business. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, you know, we are the only one in our group doing what we do.
Right.
Right. And so I think masterminds are wonderful. You can't have too many of them where you have a network of people who are similarly situated entrepreneurs from different walks of life, bringing different talents to the table. And then that group is moderated by a guy, me, who rarely lacks an opinion on the scale and growth of your business. And so, yeah, that's what we have going. And so it runs throughout the year, and this next event is in March.
Awesome. And people can get more information right from
the link. Yeah, they can go to the Total CEO. So you can go to thetotalceo.com, and you can find out right there about, there's a link to the Total Executive. And I suspect you guys could provide a link to that on the...
Yeah, we'll have a link right here next to the video.
You can learn more about it. We're very accessible. You can always find us at totalceo.com. You know, you can put a contact us in there. I'm very accessible on our social footprint of Vinnie Fisher. So it's
awesome.
Easy to find. And I believe in networks. So I think we don't ask enough of other people that, you know, who's the one person you need to meet? And our circle influence of people, it's just like hiring. It's that close to us, and we can identify into that. I do believe in that kind of 6 degrees of separation, and I think we are that close to all the people we exactly need in our life.
And that's really exciting, you know, to be able to put something together so people like myself, other entrepreneurs, and everything can come and connect.
Yeah.
You know, with high level people to work on their business and to really, you know, figure out, hey, what is my strategies? What do I need to do to take my business to the next level?
Yeah, so if you follow that through, like, so the reason why the Total CEO is doing what it's doing is we aren't good at everything.
Right.
And we shouldn't try to act like we are. And so the nice thing about being in the room with other entrepreneurs is you can call all the bull crap out, knowing that all the egos are gone.
Right.
Because, like, we want to work on our problems.
Sure.
Why else would you want to break away from your wife and kids and the joy of your life if you're not really going to try to next level your business? And so that's the reason those rooms exist. And, you know, I'm committed to helping to better as many small businesses as I can, and this is another way of doing that.
Sure. Tell me one of the times that, what was one of your biggest failures that you had, and how'd you recover from that?
You know, I've had a couple, but the biggest one was, it was the first time my cheerleader, my wife, had ever seen me skin my knee. We grew up a business really big.
Sure.
And we grew up to $100 million in revenue in 2009. And,
wow. That's...
It was a publishing company. We were having a good run. We had hundreds and hundreds of employees. Well, we sold off a chunk of the business, almost the whole thing, actually. Well, the subsequent owners of the business had failed at parts of it.
Oh, wow.
And some of the contracts came back to us. Well, that got us in a lawsuit and got us everything. And that spiraling effect actually got our banks nervous. And it caused this, literally, I always say we had a $750 line of credit, which, by the way, we never used.
Yeah.
They called that line of credit. Well, when they called that line of credit, that same primary bank of ours also froze our funds because uh-huh. they were insecure. And we had about $6 million in the bank at the time that was frozen. And then our merchanting banks were uncomfortable because our primary bank.
Right.
It started this whole cascading effect that next thing you know, we are in cash flow jail, so to speak.
Right.
Figuring out how we're going to run our business. So much so that I didn't know how to make a $30,000 payroll. We were that close of taking that big of a business that was doing north of $10 million a month to zero. And it all started over, and it was some rather dumb decisions by me and some of the decisions I made on our sales floor and contracts and thinking this other company had it all together.
Sure.
Well, wow. Talk about sitting in my driveway and feeling like an utter failure, right? Like, we were doing pretty well in that business. The next thing you know, I thought I killed the Fisher Empire. And so,
sure.
You know, what I take from that is that, you know, the grind and tenacity to not, it's not about always doing things right, it's about how to respond and recover from when you did something
right.
wrong.
And I get, you know, when you were sitting there in the driveway, what was really going through your head? I mean, you had to probably go talk to your wife and give her a...
Well, the funny thing is that night, I literally used to lead a church group in my home, and I'm about to walk into a church group
oh, wow.
where I'm the man,
yeah.
and I felt like nothing but a failure. And I remember praying and asking for help, like, Lord, what do you want me to do about this $30,000? Like, do I make the payroll? Do I not make the payroll? I'm like, just show me a sign and I'll go from there. I'm not kidding you. You can over-spiritualize it. You can do what you want with it. But I get a phone call from my accountant, Kristen, who's like, hey, we just got this wire from a network called ClickBank.
Right.
And we weren't expecting for like $30,335, something crazy like that. And like, you know, goosebumps and things. And she then asked what I think is the classic part of where this story should be told. What do you want me to do with it? So there I was faced with a question.
Sure.
I was given a clear sign to literally probably make the payroll.
Right.
And I will be honest with you. I sat there for a second and thought, okay, if I don't make the payroll, that puts $30,000 back in the company. Okay, we'll start over. But I have $30,000 more to kind of go back at. And all of a sudden, I found myself like, what are you doing? You just asked for advice and guidance.
Yeah.
You got a clear decision. So I snapped out of it. We made the payroll. We've never looked back since. And so we've had our bumps and bruises.
Sure.
You know, I blew a hosting company after that I've told stories about. And I think that a lot of that is the reason why we're doing what we're doing today. We're focusing on the back ends of businesses because a lot of business owners are very talented at sales or marketing or products, as I described.
Right.
And they're woefully inadequate at the parts that they're not supposed to be good at. And so I think through virtualization and outsourcing and team building, you can overcome those today. And even differently than I would. And you talked about something earlier that's a big deal to me. I did it all alone. Maybe because I didn't have anything.
Sure.
Or because I wanted to prove to the world I could do it. I went mentorless on a lot of this stuff.
Wow.
And I think it's a darn shame because I think of this whole arrogance of wanting to prove, right, I could do something. I think that I would encourage entrepreneurs to go seek, go look for somebody who can help you. You know, be like Solomon. He had a multitude of counselors.
Right.
He didn't have just one. You know?
Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you. I mean, I've always had, or not always, but for a good majority of either some kind of business coach, personal coach, mentors, things like that as well.
Yeah, and if that coach is good at one thing, great. Don't look to him for everything if he can't give you everything.
But most of them can't.
You know, I mean, and they can. Right. But they might be great at something, right? And so if it's as simple as accountability, well, someone can hold you. If it's you don't know how to go raise money for your company, then go find someone who's done it and take them out to lunch. Yeah. Like, there are people all around you, and they're very accessible. And I don't think I, in early enough in my career, grabbed onto this concept of mentoring too well.
Right.
And I wish I had.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit, what's one of your favorite books right now?
You know, I right now, I'm learning a lot from antiquity. So what that means for me is dead billionaires. And so I read Henry Ford, Andrew Carnegie. I'm actually going through a series of The Industrialists.
Okay.
So I love that right now. Personally, some books I've read recently that I love to read.
Sure.
And so I'm also believing that we have to figure out who we are, what we stand for. So I read a lot of books that are kind of about personal development. I read a great book that I just recently finished by Roy Williams called The Wizard of Ads.
Okay.
The title's entirely misleading, and Roy, I know why you did it, because of your wonderful academy you have, and God bless you. But that book was as much a personal development book as it was anything else, and it helps you with so many aspects of your business. And I guarantee you, every owner will resonate with some part of that book.
Awesome. And you have a book out, right?
Yeah.
And you have a new one coming as well.
Yeah, I have a book called The Best Investment. It's about focusing on a better you.
Sure.
And really finding out the value the Lord's given you. And I love that. And it was a personal passion book, right? And I just finished one. We're in the final stages of the CEO's mindset. And that's really about this idea of there are six core areas to your business. And, you know, the most important one, that being the mindset of you being in charge, not in control of all areas of your business.
Awesome. Yeah, and that makes sense too.
Yeah. Right?
And then what's one piece of technology you can't live without?
I mean, the phone, right? I mean, I'm thankful to be able to even have technology of itself that we're able to be able to do our jobs from certain places. But I'll tell you, I'm a simplist. I love Skype. I like Skype video. I like when I want to talk to somebody, I get them on the phone, like from wherever, but I get them on video. Because I feel like we're actually doing business together and we're staring at each other and more substance happens. So I'm a sucker for video conferencing. One of our businesses, Fully Accountable, is big with GoToMeeting, where we can do explanation and exercise. So I would say video conferencing is my go-to tool that I just love.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. And definitely want to have you back, because I know we got tons more to talk about.
Yeah.
But we're running out of time for today.
Oh, we can talk forever, right?
So,
thanks for having me. I love what you guys are doing at Making Bank, where you're trying to really focus in and help entrepreneurs understand and get key resources in our community. So I think it's valuable. I mean, we don't have enough of this, so keep doing what you're doing.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming in. Thanks again for watching Making Bank today. Definitely check out Vinny's link to Total CEO right here next to the video. And, you know, he's going to help share some additional information with you to help your business, to help move your business forward and start helping you get your right mindset, start hiring right, and get on the right track to success. So I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Making Bank is also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher.